Chapter 20 Are intelligence tests fair? Note IQ testing and intelligence testing, and similar phrasings are used as synonyms in this paper. Unfair and dysfunctional imply similar meanings in this paper. The word client is used to designate the person being tested. IQ tests are not really a truly scientific methodology of evaluating intelligence. The very nature of an IQ test changes the definition of intelligence to a very limited perspective. However, this unscientific nature does not make IQ tests fair or unfair. The question, are intelligence tests fair, can only be answered in the specific context in which the test is used. That is, intelligence tests can be used in fair and unfair ways. In the following paragraphs, a number of fair and unfair methods of using intelligence testing is discussed. The first five paragraphs deal with applications of IQ testing, which are functional fair. This is followed by a discussion of dysfunctional unfair use of intelligence testing. Intelligence testing can be used to document mental retardation for the purposes of obtaining special assistance for the client. The IQ test, of course, is not the primary diagnostic criteria, because many people with normal intelligence, such as from poor agricultural communities, will score very low on intelligence tests. The primary diagnostic criteria should be interviews with people that know the client and interviews with the client herself. In addition, observation of the client's behavior and responses are primary diagnostic criteria. If the client is perceived to be severely intellectually impaired by the standards of her sociocultural group, then she can be considered mentally retarded. In such situations, IQ tests can be used to confirm and or document the condition to obtain the assistance the client needs. Note, in general, a more accurate way of using intelligence tests is to compare the IQ score of the individual with the average score of people in a socioeconomic class and age. A comparison based also on culture will increase the accuracy even further. In situations where there is evidence that a significant factor in the client's problem is educational deprivation, the score should be compared to the average score of people who completed the same amount of education as the client. Intelligence testing can be used to help document a learning disability if it is used in conjunction with other types of testing and actual evaluations of school performance. The intelligence test in this case is used to rule out mental retardation and document a normal level of intelligence. Some psychologists would say the IQ test in this diagnostic procedure can be used to determine the discrepancy between academic performance and intelligence. This is really theoretical at best, because IQ tests are not that accurate, but from the perspective of documenting the problem, it might make sense. The actual utility of IQ evaluations and other testing methods in relation to a learning disability is similar to the case of mental retardation, that is, to provide services for the client, which is certainly fair. Another use of IQ tests is to rule out mental retardation in children who are severely emotionally disturbed. This is useful when the emotional disturbance severely interferes with academic performance. If the results are used to document needs for special services to help the client, then the testing is once again certainly fair. Note, when IQ testing is used to rule out mental retardation, there is no guarantee of the type of perfect clinical accuracy that is generally available with conventional medical testing. It is quite possible to obtain a false positive in situations where there is cultural deprivation, a learning disability, an emotional disturbance, and similar disabling situations. But it is highly unlikely that a false negative will result from such testing. Thus, one can be quite certain that the client is not mentally retarded if the test results are significantly above 70. Thus, in clinical situations, intelligence testing can be used in a fair way. But outside of certain limited clinical situations, IQ testing can be very misleading and unfair. IQ tests are essentially based on white middle-class culture. People from a foreign culture or a minority group are likely to perform lower than the white middle class. The worst use of IQ testing is to compare the races. Generally, the comparison is between poor minority groups who are educationally deprived and the white population. Such results are essentially totally invalid and are not used to help the minority groups. The lower IQ scores are often used as a justification for cutting back educational services and an excuse for discrimination, which is obviously extremely unfair. Note that in the clinical situation mentioned above, the lower IQ scores are used to provide additional services for the client. The lower intelligence scores of minorities are also sometimes used as an excuse for the school administrators and teachers. Their inadequacies in their teaching skills in relation to culturally deprived minorities can be falsely justified with the low IQ scores of their students, which is highly dysfunctional. The functional approach would be to learn how to teach students from educationally deprived backgrounds. Another unfair situation is the general use of IQ testing in schools. The reason for this is it gives the false impression that academic achievement will be determined by genetics. No doubt there is a correlation between intelligence and IQ scores, but actual intelligence is not determined and limited by genetics in normal individuals. Individuals in publications with a more conservative view will disagree with this. Their belief is that genetics and IQ scores partly or totally determine academic performance of most people. I believe there would be a much closer correlation between IQ scores and experiences that relate to certain types of puzzles, rapidly defining words, quickly performing simple arithmetic, memorizing digits, and solving certain types of problems, such as problems involving analogies. Very often the most intelligent people of our society do not score extremely high on IQ tests, and there are many cases where people of normal intelligence score on the genius level on these tests. This happens because IQ tests really do not measure intelligence. It measures one's ability to answer certain categories of questions and solve certain categories of problems. Thus, even a highly intelligent person might have difficulty with these questions and problems if he has not obtained prior experience with similar questions and problems. However, a person with average intelligence can sometimes obtain a very high IQ score simply because of experiences with such questions and problems. Many psychologists simply avoid the above contradiction by simply defining intelligence in terms of IQ, which totally changes the definition of intelligence. Thus, this is really a form of rationalizing, in a highly dysfunctional way. Another way of rationalizing the concept of IQ scores in relation to intelligence is to use statistics. There is an imperfect statistical correlation between IQ scores and academic and occupational achievement. The reason this is irrational is the very nature of statistics hides the many errors. The way this happens is some of the errors are overestimates of intelligence and some are underestimates, which cancel out in the calculations. Even if all the testing was incorrect, if approximately one-half were overestimates and one-half were underestimates, the average could be a 100% correlation, that is, a correlation of 1.00, which falsely implies great accuracy. The actual correlation of academic and occupational performance with respect to IQ scores is, of course, far from 100%. It is only about plus 0.50. However, the major problem of the general use of IQ testing is primarily the implied belief of limitations based on IQ scores. If a student score is 100, which is average, many counselors, school advisors, and some psychologists will assume certain limitations. Such a person might not be considered college material. She might be channeled toward a trade. If, on the other hand, a student scored 120, even if she was having academic difficulties, the assumption of some advisors would be that she is college material, but she must correct her academic difficulties. In reality, the difference between IQ scores is the result of differences in experience in answering certain types of questions and solving certain types of problems. Thus, IQ scores do not always have much practical validity. The scores can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. People who score slightly below normal may be channeled into unskilled occupations, those who score at the normal level might be channeled into trades, and people who score above normal will be encouraged to attend college. Very often the channeling process is the result of students and parents who believe the IQ scores are precise measurements of future academic success and limitations. This is obviously quite dysfunctional. I believe a more accurate and equitable method of measuring intelligence is to use achievement tests. The reason for this is an achievement test score can measure the skills actually obtained. These scores can be compared to the average person in the population, or more functionally with the average student who is studying a specific field. This information has more utility than an IQ score for practical applications. A low score on an achievement test implies that the person needs more training and practice with the subject that was evaluated with the test. It generally is not interpreted as a limitation in potential. When poor minority groups score low on achievement tests, the implication is the school officials and instructors are not doing their jobs well. This is likely to motivate both instructors and students to apply more effort to increase academic achievement. Contrast this with the false impression of low IQ scores, which imply limitations that cannot be corrected.